الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، quite frankly, the last session was very, very interesting. And then, like I said before, in the durus of العقيدة الوسطية, particularly this chapter by Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, things get hectic. And we get to learn the various sects in Islam and their belief system and where we stand as representatives of inshallah Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning these issues. In our last session, we dealt with the issue of Qadr, preordainment, pre-decree, predestiny, destiny, decree, or all of these words are used. And I remember giving you an assignment, and it does appear to me that no one did anything about the assignment, but maybe I'm wrong. First, do you remember what the assignment was? Second, if you do remember, did you do anything about it? You remember? What was the assignment?
If Allah is already predestined, what's the point in working hard?
Okay. Yeah, the question is that how do we deal with the misconception among the people that if Allah already knows my place in paradise or in hell, so how is that fair? Meaning, no matter what I do, if right now as I'm sitting here it's already predestined that I'm going to hell, so what's the point? That's not fair. Why am I doing all these good deeds? All these good deeds are going to waste. So let me have fun. You know, if I'm going to hell anyways, let me enjoy this life. Otherwise I'm going to suffer in this life doing good deeds and abandoning, you know, bad deeds, and then in the life to come I'll be burnt in the fire. It doesn't make sense. So we said this is quite a problem among many Muslims, let alone non-Muslims. Or among many, yes, that's the correct order. So I said, who can come up with a logical argument so that we can remove this misconception from the minds of the people? And I promise you, if you don't come up with one, then I have one of my own. But I wanted to hear from you first. Did anyone think of how you can logically explain this to someone? Yes, sir.
One example is like the teacher who teaches the students, and at the end of the year, he assesses the student, the so-and-so student is going to fail and so-and-so student is going to pass. But it is the duty of the student who you feel that he's going to fail, if he works hard, he may get through. This is one of the...
Did you hear this from someone or is this your own?
No, not my own, from Dr. Zakir.
Okay. Because I've heard this one before. Somebody had mentioned. This is a very good one, by the way. This is a very good one. And then there's another one. But it's along these lines. It's along these lines. Shall I give you mine? Okay, you can accept or reject it. But here's one possible interpretation or explanation to this dilemma. You say to this person, listen man, assume that your manager, your boss, came to you one morning and said, Fulan, whatever your name is, Ahmed, Muhammad, I'm going to give you 1 week evaluation. I will be observing you in this upcoming week, how you work. If you do good, I will promote you. Oh no, let me retract. After 1 week, I will either promote you or fire you. He doesn't go into the details. You have 1 week, I'm going to observe you. After 1 week, you will either be promoted, you'll be the general manager of this company, you know, the highest person in rank after me, or you will be fired. Fair enough? He says that to the employee. Okay. Now the boss may have already something in his mind. Maybe he wants to fire him and he's trying to create some excuse to let him go. Or he may want to promote him and he's trying to test him to see how he would react to this particular, you know, test. Either way, does the employee know what the boss has in mind? Does he know the outcome? No, he doesn't know. Now, as an employee, with the common sense which you know you have been given by God, with knowing the ethics of work and how businesses are ran and everything, what are you supposed to do? Let's assume two possibilities. Possibility number one, the employee, this guy, says, you know what, this sounds good. Promotion is around the corner. I better handle business. So he starts doing work extra good, and he starts putting more effort, staying longer hours, the whole nine yards. Is that a logical, acceptable behavior? The other scenario is, the next day, he goes to work with his pajamas, 2 hours late, and he's sitting on his office, you know, with his feet up on the table, on the desk. And the employees walk in and say, hey, what are you doing? Say, didn't you hear? Say, no, we didn't hear. He said, my boss said that, you know, he's going to watch me for 1 week, and he will either promote me or he will fire me. So they'll say, okay, and? So that's not fair, man. What if I get fired? Say, and what if you don't? Well, look, now I promise you, you will get fired. At this point, you are guaranteeing, you know, losing the job because of your behavior. So once you are given two choices, you don't know the outcome. What are you supposed to do as a human being? Do good. No one will allow you to actually, not even yourself. It's unacceptable. So we say, and to Allah belongs the highest example. Okay? If we were to look at it in the same, from the same perspective, Allah Azza wa Jal already knows what will happen to you. And He told you, this is a path which leads to paradise, and this is a path which leads to hell. And you need to travel on this path to go to paradise, promotion, and you don't do anything silly so you will not go to hell. What are you, and you don't know the result. What are you naturally supposed to do? Do good. Do good. If you do bad, then now you are guaranteeing yourself destruction. And that now that's one thing, but it doesn't end there. With your boss, you may be wronged. Your boss may be crazy. Maybe he doesn't like you. Huh? He doesn't like you. He may actually fire you when you deserve a promotion. Right or wrong? But can Allah do that to one of His creation? Would Allah do that to one of His creation? No. So once you strive to go to Jannah, you will go to Jannah. Allah will not disappoint a slave who strives. So in the worldly example, you still are risking. They're still gambling, because you may do good and be fired. And if you do bad, you will definitely get fired. With Allah Azza wa Jal, if you do good, you will never be demoted. You will never be fired. And if you do bad, then you can blame yourself. On the Day of Judgment, you cannot blame anyone but yourself. Allah showed you the way. He gave you the means to travel on the good path. You chose the bad one because you're lazy. Or maybe Allah will put me in the fire. Maybe not. On what basis are you assuming evil and abandoning good deed when you don't know the knowledge of the unseen? The idea is you don't know. When you don't know, you cannot have pre-assumptions. When you don't know, no pre-assumptions. Allahu A'lam. The boss may wrong you, Allah will never wrong you. Clear example? Inshallah, that or the one by the brother who mentioned, can usually solve this problem, which is a common problem among many non-Muslims and even Muslims themselves. So then in our condition, my brothers in Islam, we don't know what Allah had already destined for each one of us, whether he's going to Jannah or Jahannam. If this is the case, it is illogical that we assume evil about Allah and we abandon good deeds and use an excuse, you know, justifying our actions, that wallah, I don't know. It's unacceptable. Rather, you're supposed to strive good. Now when the Sahaba, you know, said this to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them, he said, أَنَدَعُ الْعَمَلِ. If it's already been preordained whether we go to Jannah or Jahannam, shall we leave alone this work? Stop doing deeds? He said, "Kalla, اعملوا." No, work. فَكُلٌ مُيَسَّرْ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Each one will be facilitated towards that which he was created for. Then he recited the ayat in the book of Allah, فَأَمَّا وَأَمَّا مَنْ صَدَّقَ وصدق بالحسنى. فأما من آمن واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى، وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى. So here's the ayah that Allah will, if you do good, you fear Allah, you believe, you will be facilitated to good. And if you don't, you'll be facilitated to otherwise. So no one has an excuse, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. طب جميل. Now we will deal with the third asl. الأصل الأول, the first fundamental difference between Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the rest, that which gives us the balanced position, just to give you the actual title, was باب الأسماء والصفات, the chapter on the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one, الأصل الثاني, أفعال الله, the actions of Allah, which is the issue we discussed, جبرية and قدرية. The Jabariya, those who say you are forced to do what you're doing. Qadariya, those who deny the Qadar of Allah. Say, some of them say that Allah doesn't know about the deed until you do it. Now, al-asr al-thalith, the third fundamental principle is al-wa'id. Does anyone know what al-wa'id means? It comes very often in the statements of the scholars and the Qur'an. لمن خاف مقامي وخاف وعيد. It's in the Quran. That's wa'd. Wa'd is an appointment. Threat. Wa'id means threat. Right? And we will see the opposite end or the antonym for this particular term. Wa'id means threat. And really it has to do with promise. You know, you're being promised an evil punishment. You're being promised a punishment. And so the terms are actually, you know, derived from each other. Wa'id. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وفي باب وعيد الله بين المرجئة وبين الوعيدية من القدرية وغيرهم. And أهل السنة والجماعة are in a balanced position between concerning the threat of Allah, وعيد الله, مضاف إليه. Between the murji'a, we will learn who these are, and between the wa'idiyya, which we can call the wa'idites, I guess, from among the qadariyya and others. Al-murji'a, ismun fa'il, ismu fa'il min arja'a, bima'na akhara. Murji'a is derived from the word arja'a. Arja means akhara, meaning postpone. To postpone, to delay. وَمِنْهُ قَوْلُ تَعَالَى قَالُوا أَرْجِهْ وَأَخَاهْ. And this statement was made by the consultants or the people of Fir'aun when Musa came with the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the miraculous signs, and you know, Fir'aun threw a fit, he lost his mind. So they said, أَرْجِهْ. قَالُوا أَرْجِهْ وَأَخَاهْ, meaning delay him and his brother. Meaning Fir'aun, meaning Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun alayhi salam. You've given some time and then bring the magicians, and you all know the story. This is Al-A'raf 111. وَفِي قِرَاءَ أَرْجِئْهُ أَيْ أَخِّرْهُ وَأَخِّرْ أَمْرَهُ, meaning delay him and delay his affair. وَسُمُّوا مُرْجِئَ, why were they called مُرْجِئَ? إِمَّا مِنَ الرَّجَاءَ, either from Raja, which means hope. Raja means hope. And what's the opposite of Raja? The ulama say, you know, every believer is like a bird with two wings traveling to Allah. One wing is Raja, hope, and the other one is? If you go to extreme in one of them, you will crash. You gotta fly to Allah on two. And the Sahaba used to be more on one side in their life, and towards the end, before they would pass away, they would go to the other one. Come on, brothers, you hope in Allah and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You hope in Allah's mercy, you fear Allah's punishment. These are the two things. Now, you cannot. Some people fear Allah too much until the shaitan tells them, Allah will never forgive you. There's no tawbah for you. You're an evil man. So they believe shaitan and they don't never do tawbah. and they insist on their sins, thinking that, you know, there's no hope in tawbah. That's one extreme. The other extreme is, excuse me, those who violate everything in the deen of Allah, and you know, when you ask why, say, Allahu ghafurur rahim. Allah is forgiving, Allah is... This is extreme raja, a lot of hope. But as Ibn Qayyim said, this is foolishness, and this is a lie. If they really had hope in Allah, they would have obeyed Him. They would have obeyed Him. There's no such thing. So, لِتَغْلِيبِهِمْ أَدِلَّةِ الرَّجَاءِ عَلَى أَدِلَّةِ الْوَعِيِ. They were called murji'a from the word raja, because they favored the evidences of hope over the evidences of threat. They inclined towards all the evidences where Allah gave hope, and they didn't really like the ones that had to do with the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِمَّا مِنَ الْإِرْجَاءِ. So either it comes from the word raja or irja. Irja means takhir, which is deferment or delay or postponing. لِتَأْخِيرِهِمِ الْأَعْمَالِ عَنْ مُسَمَّى الْإِيمَانِ. Because they consider deeds to be one degree after faith. They don't believe that iman and amal salih are harmonious. They think that iman comes and good deeds is irrelevant. They delayed it. They didn't connect them. We Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that, you know, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. I mean, these two don't go, they do not leave each other's company. In the book of Allah, you will find them often with each other. So they don't have this belief. We will see what they believe. فَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ الْأَعْمَالُ لَيْسَتْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِيمَانُ هُوَ الْإِعْتِرَافُ بِالْقَلْبِ فَقَطَ. They say, deeds are not part of your faith. Deeds are not part of your faith. Iman is the acknowledgement of the heart only. Who does that remind you of?
Iblis.
Crazy stuff, man. Iblis, did he not believe in Allah? He was worshipping Allah with the angels, man. Does he not believe in the Day of Judgment? Does he believe in angels? He was in their company. Does he believe in prophets? Does he believe in prophets? Of course he does. Adam is the first prophet. And who does he try to mislead the people from following? He tries to stop them from following the prophets. He has all six pillars of faith, ya Jama'ah. That's what we need to understand. Iblis, in terms of acknowledging only, knowing. See, there's a difference between knowing and having faith. There's a difference between knowing and having faith. If I tell you, look man, do you know that fire burns? You say, yeah. And then you put your hand in the fire, guess what? You really don't believe. You know, you know, but that knowledge is not resulting in you acting accordingly. So we cannot call this faith. It's just knowing something. So Iblis actually, he acknowledged, he admitted in his heart all six pillars of Iman and more. He even came to Abu Huraira and told him, if you recite Ayat al-Kursi before you go to sleep, no shaitan will come and, you know, affect you the whole night. And Prophet ﷺ said, he told him, Sadaq, he has said the truth and he's a liar. That's shaitan. But he told you the truth there. He even has, you know, he has even advice from the Quran to someone. Don't, you have to understand who the enemy is. So this wicked devil knows. But did that make him submit to Allah? No. Knowledge did not result in submission. It did not translate into deeds, and he became a shaitan rajim abad al abidin. Till the end of till the no end. Eternally he will be tortured in the hellfire, because Allah told him, prostrate to Adam, and he thought that Allah doesn't know what he's doing. He thought Allah doesn't know what he's doing. Why? What did he say? Now hold on a second. This is his da'wah. Somebody will come and tell you, look, Adam disobeyed Allah, and shaitan disobeyed Allah. How come Adam is a believer, prophet, all these good things are said about him, and shaitan became who he is today? Both disobeyed Allah. What's the difference? Did you hear it from before? If you didn't hear from before, if you heard it from our class before, then give it the chance to someone else. If not, then we'll accept it. I think I've mentioned this to you many times before.
Different.
You heard it from before, man. You're an old school student. Adam repented? That's it? No, that's not it. That's not it. Allah inspired Adam to repent. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. Allah taught him how to seek repentance. That's not the reason. It has to do with aqeedah. It's aqeedah. The aqeedah of Adam and the aqeedah of Iblis. When Allah told Adam, don't eat from the tree. If Adam had said, why not? You know? Why are you telling me not to eat from this tree? This is a good tree. He would have become just like Iblis. See, Iblis not only disobeyed Allah, he told them, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. I will not prostrate to him. How are you telling me to prostrate? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِن. I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. Basically telling Allah, you made the wrong judgment. How are you asking me to prostrate to someone whom I am better than him? That's kufr right there. That assumption or that statement that Allah gave him a command which shaitan didn't think was, Iblis didn't think it was an adequate, suitable request, made him a kafir. It's not like he acknowledged it and then he disobeyed Allah because of weakness like Adam. Adam didn't know any better. He didn't think anyone would lie to him and swear by Allah, this is a shajratul khuld, this is the tree of eternity. وَمُلْكٌ لَا يَبْلَى and dominion that will never perish. And he swore to them, Iblis, إِنِّي لَكُمَا مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I am among the advisors. So that's Adam. He was tricked into this. Iblis, it wasn't no trick. It was arrogance. It was arrogance. I'm better than him. You know? I mean, you have to understand it. I just put it in a worldly context. You know, your boss says, listen, you need to start coming at 7 o'clock in the morning. Okay? And then the next day you come at 7:15 and you're saying, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I was late, blah, blah, blah. And another employee says, you need to come 7. I said, why? You don't know anything, man. 7 is no good. We should start work at 7:30. Now, in real life, what would your manager do? Oh, yeah? Yeah, you can start work at 7:30 somewhere else. Out! Wallah, he won't even keep you a day. And he doesn't even want to look in your face. Ishal employee hadha. Employee, he thinks he's a boss? I mean, that, you know, we have to understand. An employee is going to tell the manager who's been in business for 50 years. He knows the whole thing. He knows what's good for the company. They hired this guy, you know, 2 days ago. And he's coming there telling him, you don't know man how to do business. What are you telling me to come at 7 o'clock? We should begin at 8. He won't last at the job. He will not last. And I mean, and to Allah belongs the highest example. Here's Iblis, a creation of Allah, doesn't know jack. Allah is the one who knows everything. He tells him something and Iblis has the nerve to reject and refuse and object to Allah's command. Then he became a kafir because of this arrogance. Now we understand why there's a difference between Adam and Iblis. Ultimately, that's clear. Eden, how did I get here? Now, so they say, then all you have to do is acknowledge in your heart, you don't have to do any good deeds. And this is, by the way, a very common belief system among the Muslims. I know this from my own relatives. No salah, no siyam, no nothing. See, where's the... Wallah, my heart is white. Wallah, it is. I want to, you know, I'm like, yeah, man, come on, man. If he wasn't my relative, you know, I'd be doing something else. Man, we're sitting here striving day and night, you know, going into all kinds of hardship, and I don't know anyone who can say, a believer who can say, my heart is white. You know, doing, he probably praying all night and fasting all day with all the good deeds. And if you told him, Akhi, you think your heart is white, he'll say, man, I think I'm a hypocrite, to be honest with you. Here's a guy who doesn't do jack. He says, my heart is white. MashaAllah. Ala tul tazkiyah. Tazkiyah to nafs. And Allah says, وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't claim purity for yourselves. Don't praise yourselves. And so, and people really don't do salah, and they say, look, my heart is good, you know, I'm better than many Muslims who do salah. That's the mentality. He prays, but he cheats. He prays, but he lies. He have a beard, but I don't have a beard, and I don't pray, but you know what? I'm nice to people, I treat the neighbors with respect, blah, 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 blah. Say, look, you're wrong, and he's wrong. If he's doing salah, he looks like he's obedient to Allah, but he's not acting accordingly, he's wrong. And you are wrong as well. Because you're doing now, you're doing one side of the story and he's doing the other one, and we should all live the story all together. We have to do both, both, for us to be true believers. We can't be doing, you know, pick and choose. You know, there's no pick and choose in the deen. So that's really the idea that they have. So, but they say, my heart is white, he said, tayyib inshallah. Maybe using a lot of Clorox, you know, from Danube. Maybe not. وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُونَ الْأَعْمَالُ لَيْسَتْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِيمَانُ هُوَ الْإِعْتِرَافُ بِالْقَلْبِ فَقَطْ. So they say iman has nothing to do with your deeds, your actions have nothing to do with your iman, and iman is simply acknowledging something in your heart only. وَلِهَذَا, now here's where things get really bad. وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ فَاعِلَ الْكَبِيرَةِ كَالزَّانِي وَالسَّارِقُ وشارب الخمر وقاطع الطريق لا يستحق دخول النار لا دخولا مؤبدا ولا مؤقتا. يا لطيف. فلا يضر مع الإيمان معصية مهما كانت صغيرة أم كبيرة إذ لم تصل إلى حد الكفر. So they say, the one who embarks or engages in major sins like adultery or fornication, like theft, robbery, drinking alcohol, drinking intoxicants, qati' al-tariq, highway robber. You know, this was very common back then. There will be a caravan of camels and they will come and, you know, rob them at night and whatever. Today they do the same thing with new means and tools. They said, these people do not deserve to enter the fire, not eternally, not temporarily. You know, you do zina, you rob people, you drink alcohol, you do all this. According to them, that doesn't mean you will go to the hellfire. You don't deserve to go to the hellfire, period. Not eternally and not temporarily. Yani, because it has nothing to do with your iman. Your iman is there, so these deeds are irrelevant. See how crazy that is? And how can that be? How can that be? Subhanallah al-Azim. It doesn't matter how huge or minor, major or minor the sin is. If it doesn't reach kufr, it will not affect your iman. Did he mention it here? Yeah, so basically they say, in case he didn't mention it here, they say that this a person who has the six pillars of iman, and he drinks alcohol, he commits adultery, he kills, he does everything, his iman and that of Abu Bakr are the same. His iman and that of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu are exactly the same. It's the same. Even though we have clear ayat, clear narrations about the idea of iman increasing and decreasing. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Verily the true believers are those when Allah's name is remembered, mentioned, their hearts will tremble, and when His ayat are recited upon them, زَادَتْهُمْ زِيَادَ. You hear this even in, you know, street language, زِيَادَ زِيَادَ. زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. It will increase their iman. Prophet ﷺ said in many ahadith, for example, al-imanu bid'un wa sittuna shu'ba, or bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba, iman is some 60, 70 some branches. The highest of them is saying la ilaha illallah, and the least of them is removing harm from the way. His iman is not the same. And haya, shu'batun iman, modesty is a branch of iman. And now the ayat or the narrations are too many to enumerate. Logically speaking, how can you have the iman of Abu Bakr? When the Prophet ﷺ himself said, if the iman of Abu Bakr was to be weighed versus the iman of the whole ummah, he would outweigh the whole ummah. Yeah, so that why do you think he was called As-Siddiq? لأنه صدق بكل ما جاءه عن نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He believed everything. Even Isra and Mi'raj, which the people were making fun of and mocking. What? You're going to tell us you went from Al-Haram to Masjid Al-Aqsa, from Masjid Al-Aqsa you went all the way to the heavens and you came back in one night? They weren't believing it. They went and told Abu Bakr, he said that? He said, yes, I believe him. Some Muslims, by the way, their faith was shaken. The Kuffar, of course, they don't believe. The Muslims themselves, their faith was shaken. But Abu Bakr at that time, this is when they called him the Siddiq, by the way. He said, look, I believe him concerning revelation he brings from Allah. I'm not going to believe him about something else. It's all the same source. So this was Abu Bakr. And so they say, you know, the fornicator, adulterer, alcoholic, you know, thief is equal in iman to Abu Bakr. And these are some of these, you know, Muslims, wallahu musta'an. See how important aqidah is? We need to know the correct aqidah. وَأَمَّا الْوَعِيدِيَّةَ فَقَابَلُوهُمْ The wa'idiyya are the opposite extreme. And they went against them. They were on the other end. وَغَلَّبُوا جَانِبَ الْوَعِيدِ And they favored the threat. They favored the evidences that allude to threats. وَقَالُوا أَيِّ كَبِيرَةٍ يَفْعَلُهَا الْإِنسَانُ وَلَمْ يَتُبْ مِنْهَا فَأَنَّهُ مُخَلَّدٌ فِي النَّارِ بِهَا وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ They said, any major sin that one commits and he doesn't repent from it, he will abide eternally in Jahannam. Major sin, no repentance, no Jannah ever. Well, even if you have Tawheed, even if you believe in Allah, if you commit zina and you die before repenting, you will never go to Jannah according to them, and you will abide in Jahannam eternally just like the kafir. That's another extreme. Ajib. In sarab, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا Even if he steals, he will be among the inhabitants of the hellfire, abiding therein eternally. وَإِنْ شَرِبَ الْخَمْرِ فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا وَهَكَذَا If he drinks alcohol, any major sin, he's done. وَالْوَعِدِيَ يَشْمَى طَائِفَتَيْن There are two groups which are categorized under Al-Wa'idiyya. Al-Mu'tazila, which are the Mu'tazilites, and Al-Khawarij. The Khawarij, the Kharijites. And the Kharijites are the ones that we are suffering from today. You know, the idea of, the ruler did this. And you know, where do they get the news from? CNN, you know, BBC, Fox News, some wicked, you know, wicked resource, right? I mean, some of the things they mentioned, of course, are, you know, factual, but political things of this nature, you have to think 80 times before you believe something that you get from CNN or one of these Jewish, you know, maintained and directed institutes. So they see some, they hear about some ruler of some Muslim country somewhere in the world who did something according to that, and to them this is an act of disbelief, so automatically they declare him to be a kafir and that he needs to be overthrown from the leadership, and that all the soldiers, now listen, now he's a kafir, that means that the whole government is kafir because they are working under the kafir president, and all the army is kuffar because they are supporting and helping this kafir president, and all the security guards who help the soldiers, they do then, you know, as they say, wholesale takfir. And those who are freed from takfir are a minority. Unless you oppose the government openly, you're a kafir like them, in their state of mind. So they go to a masjid and bomb it, kill people. And they thinking in their mind, we're killing a bunch of kuffar. Yeah, they're doing salah, but they agree with this president who's a kafir, because we heard, saw on CNN that he, you know, did this, you know, did no giving him benefit of the doubt, no inquiring about the reality of this situation, no references to the scholars, ala tul, automatic takfir. And so you find that people, Muslims kill Muslims, because in their mind these are not Muslims. Why? This is the Khariji manhaj. This is the methodology of the Kharijites. We have to be very careful of them. There's sometimes, you know, many of our, you know, close brothers and sisters may be on this tip because of emotionalism. They get emotional. They don't have knowledge of the deen. And they think they're doing correct. And you see some websites and, you know, many things are dedicated. Oh, all the Saudi government, oh, kuffar, man. Oh, Yemen, kuffar, brother. Everybody's a kafir. Everybody is a kafir except them. It's a very dangerous approach. And the Prophet ﷺ said clearly that there will come rulers over you, and you will see things that you don't like. You will see things that you don't like. They said, "O Messenger of Allah, shall we go against them?" He said, "No. No. As long as they establish salah. As long as they don't say no salah, khalas salah mafi, you don't go against them." Another narration, "Illa an taraw kufran bawahan lakum fihi min Allah burhan aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." No, unless you see clear, blatant disbelief with which you have evidence and proof from Allah that this is kufr. Yeah, and you see him doing sujood to a cross. And yeah, something that you cannot second doubt. It's kufr. Otherwise, you cannot go and fight against them, even if you see things that you dislike. Now the general attitude, and I've heard this from people here, you know, "Yeah, this government is an American government." What do you mean it's an American government, man? That's a dangerous statement, akhi. Look, affiliation, politics, that's a very technical area. We don't have knowledge. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know what appears on in front of the people on TV and what's really going on. We cannot hasten. Some of the things we see are incorrect, but this is according to our perception. And even if they're incorrect, does that allow you to declare kufr on this person because you disagree with that thing he's doing? It's a very, very sensitive, you know, aspect of Islam. And the best thing we do is what? Chill out. Mind your business. We're not scholars, and we're not here to, you know, categorize the disbeliever from the believer. When the scholars come and say this government is a kuffar, and they have evidence, then we imitate the scholars in this area. If they don't say anything, then you don't say anything. Because you can either be oppressing them, and if you are oppressing them, then you're in big trouble. Going against a hakim, it will basically, according to the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ will land you in Jahannam. Dying while not swearing allegiance to a hakim, while not being under the ruler, is like the mawtat al-jahiliyyah. It's like dying in the state of ignorance. So we need to be very careful before we jump into conclusions about those in charge. You see evil, advise them. Send a letter personally. You know, such and such and such. But to go on a minbar and be careful and this and that, and our government is this, our government, what do you think will happen? The people will riot. The people the next day say, "Oh yeah, man, let's overthrow this government." So the government will put the soldiers down. Who will die? Muslims. Bloodshed. And we really, it's all emotionalism. We get excited. We want to get things done. That's not our manhaj. Not our manhaj. Jamil. Aywa. So these are the khawarij. ولهذا قال المؤلف رحمه الله من القدرية وغيرهم فيشمل المعتزلة والمعتزلة قدرية. So it includes قدرية, the معتزلites who are قدرites as well. يرون أن الإنسان مستقل بعلمه وهم وعيدية ويشمل الخوارج. They consider that the person is independent with his deed, and they are also among those who favor the aspect of threats, and that includes the خوارج. فاتفقت الطائفتان على أن فاعل الكبيرة مخلد في النار. So both groups agree that the one who commits a major sin shall be abiding eternally in Jahannam. لا يخرج منها أبدا, never go out. وأن من شرب الخمر مرة كمن عبد الصنم ألف سنة. سبحان الله. And to them, if you drink alcohol once, you are equal to someone who's been worshipping an idol for 1,000 years. No difference between you. No difference between you. He's going to the hellfire eternally, and you drank alcohol once, you're going to the hellfire eternally as well. It's ajeeb. Ajeeb. Subhanallah al-Azim. كلهم مخلدون في النار, everyone will be abiding eternally in Jahannam. لكن يختلفون في الاسم كما سيأتي إن شاء الله في الباب الثاني. But they differ on what they call that person, and that will be mentioned in the following chapter بإذن الله. وأما أهل السنة والجماعة فيقولون لا نغلب جانب الوعيد كما فعل المعتزلة والخوارج ولا جانب الوعد كما فعل المرجئة ونقول فاعل الكبيرة مستحق للعذاب وإن عذب لا يخلد في النار. We أهل السنة والجماعة, they say we do not favor the aspect or the evidences of threat only, like the Mu'tazilites and the Khawarij. And we do not favor the aspect or the evidences of hope, like the Murji'a, who said Iman is not affected by any sin you commit. You're a believer all the way. Rather we say, the one who commits a major sin deserves punishment. Deserves punishment. And if he is punished because he deserves it, he will not abide eternally in Jahannam. That is the sound, you know, belief system that is strengthened and fortified by the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. And in the Sunnah we have clear narrations that, you know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will do shafa'ah, yashfa' liman dakhala an-nara min ummatihi. He will intercede for those who will enter the fire among his ummah. And Allah will take them out of Jahannam because of the shafa'ah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they will not abide eternally. No believer, no, at the end of the day, after everyone gets their punishment, there shall come a day where everyone who died upon La ilaha illallah will be taken to Jannah, and the only ones who will remain in Jahannam eternally are the kuffar. In the beginning, it is going to be a combo. It's going to be a what? A combination of Muslims and non-Muslims. But at some point, after everyone gets paid or gets punished according to the sins, the only ones that will remain are the kuffar. The believers will all go to Jannah. But the idea is, you know, some people say, oh, that sounds good. That's nice, man. So I can, you know, I can have fun. You know, eventually, I'm going to go to Jannah. We say, well, I have two comments to say to someone who Shaitan tells him that this is a good approach. Number one, can you really afford to go to Jahannam for even 20 minutes? Come on, man. We can't even sit in the car. You get in your car before you turn it on and turn on the AC. Before you turn on the AC, you feel like you're about to die. You know, it's like, oh, you open up, don't look. You know, it's like, what happened, man? Brother, just turn on the AC. Hey, relax, man. It's been 5 seconds since you got... That's me. I'm not even speaking about someone else. I get with someone else in their car, within 5 seconds I'm looking at them, Akhi, turn on the AC. Come on, man, what's wrong with you? And that's us, man. That's AC. That's the sun a million, you know, Allahu A'lam, how many million light years away. And you're talking about Jahannam. You're in there, toasting. You know, it's 70 times as severe as the fire of the dunya. Please, brother. You're going to tell me you're going to have fun now and hope that eventually you'll be taken out of Jahannam? That's the first comment. Secondly, who guaranteed you that your evil deeds will not lead you to disbelief? And that's the more dangerous part. Some people think that, you know, disobeying Allah will guarantee... No, the more we disobey Allah, the more we are committing acts of kufr, people eventually leave Islam. Now you know this. And some people think that leaving Islam means that I will become a Christian or I'll become a Hindu. No, Habibi. No. Once you start worshipping a grave, you left Islam. Once you stop praying to Allah, you left Islam. Once you start criticizing the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, you left Islam. Now you know. Kufr now and disbelief is many branches. It is not necessarily abandoning Islam and doing riddah, apostasy. No, that's one element. Some people leave Islam while they think they are Muslims. And Ibn Kathir in his commentary on this ayah, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those who oppose the messenger, those who the sunnah comes to them and they say, خَلِّي وَلِّي, let them beware that a trial shall befall them, and يُصِيبَهُمْ fitna أَوْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, or a severe punishment. Ibn Kathir said, fitna, trial, means kufr or shirk, or nifaq, or a bid'ah. Meaning someone may become a hypocrite, or someone may leave Islam entirely. Not necessarily by declaring a new religion, but by destroying his iman from within, without knowing. So people abandon salah. Abandoning salah is kufr. And the one who dies in this state will be with Fir'aun. As it comes in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who believes that a dead man can aid him and is the one who's calling on besides Allah after you make it clear to them and they insist, they wouldn't reach this condition unless there was a sickness to begin with. Otherwise, our hearts were what? The fitrah is what? Tawheed. And you can't possibly worship a dead man if you were obedient to Allah. Allah will not put you in this circumstance. It's not possible. Allah will guide your heart to the tawheed, which is naturally there. So it's not a joke. So they tell the person, "Akhi, do you guarantee that you will die as a believer? Do you guarantee that you will not, you know, get attached to some maulana, some wali, whom you will worship besides Allah before you die? Do you have a guarantee that these sins will not lead you there? Can you guarantee that you will not abandon salah 1 year before you die? No guarantee. So why are you sinning? Why are you saying, well, you know, at least I'm going to go to Jannah eventually? That's from the tricks of the shaitan. And we cannot allow him to trick us in this particular fashion. طيب. وسبب الخلاف بين الوعيدية وبين المرجئة أن كل واحد منهما نظر إلى النصوص بعين عوراء أو عوراء ينظر من جانب واحد. Now why did they differ? The واعيدية and the مرجئة, the Sheikh said a very beautiful analogy or metaphor. He said every one of them is looking at the textual evidences with one eye. They look at the textual evidences with what? With one eye. These ones see the ayat of hope, and the other ones see the ayat of punishment, and they cannot use both eyes to bring a relation between both. Otherwise, the matter is clear. Subhanallah al-Azim. هَؤُلَاءِ نَظَرُوا نُصُوصِ الْوَعْدِ فَأَدْخَلُوا الْإِنسَانَ فِي الرَّجَاءِ. Those look at the ayat of threat, of promise, the good promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Jannah and mercy. So they said, oh hope. We will rely on hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقَالُوا نَأْخُذُ بِهَا وَنَدْعُ مَسِيحَهُ. We will take it and abandon everything else. We don't want to deal with the threats. وَحَمَلُوا نُصُوصَ الْوَعِيدِ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. And they said every ayah where there's a threat is only applicable to the kuffar. It doesn't apply to the Muslims. It doesn't apply to the Muslims. Every ayah where Allah threatened anything is for the kafir. But we know that some of the ayat of threat are addressing the believers. Who can give me an evidence? Who can give me an evidence from the Quran where Allah Azza wa Jal addresses the believers and He threatens them? Because they're saying all of them are for the kuffar. Aywa ya Shaykh. Ahsant. Fawailun lil musallin alladhina hum an salatihim sahun. Woe to those who pray but are negligent about their prayer. That's a threat to the believers. Not just the believers, those who pray among them. What about another ayah? Miya miya, mashallah. Anyone else? Think. The end of Surah Al-Hashr. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah, so He made them forget about themselves. Those are the corrupt, the evil, defiantly disobedient people. Allah is threatening us. Don't forget about Allah. Speaking to the people, if you do, you become a fasiq. Then He said in the next ayah, لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. Now He's dividing أصحاب النار. I mean, the ayat are too many in the book of Allah. But they say no. Every ayah of threat is only for the kuffar. The believers are exempt. Nonsensical. وَالْوَعِيدِيَّ بِالْعَكْسِ نَظَرُوا إِلَى نُصُوصِ الْوَعِيدِ فَأَخَذُوا بِهَا وَغَفَلُوا عَنْ نُصُوصِ الْوَعْدِ. And the wa'idiyya are the opposite. They looked at the ayat of threat, so they took it and they abandoned and neglected the ayat of promise or the hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. Let me finish these few lines and then we'll finish inshallah. فَلَمَّا اخْتَلَّ تَوَازُنُهُمْ لَمَّا نَظَرُوا مِنْ فَلِهَذَا اخْتَلَّ تَوَازُنُهُمْ لَمَّا نَظَرُوا مِنْ جَانِبٍ وَاحِدٍ. This is why they lost their balance when they looked from one angle. They looked at it from one angle. وَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ أَخَذُوا بِهَذَا وَهَذَا. We, أهل السنة والجماعة, we take this and that. We say, نُصُوصُ الْوَعِيدِ مُحْكَمَةِ. The evidences about the threat of Allah are firm. entirely clear, cannot misinterpret them. فنأخذ بها, we will accept it. ونصوص الوعد محكمة, and the ayat that promise, give us hope in Allah, and the promise of Jannah and whatever, are also sound and firm, and we accept them. فأخذوا من نصوص الوعد ما ردوا به على الوعيد. So we accept from the evidences of hope with which we reject those who only favor threat, and we take from the ones where there's threat to reject those who say that iman is only belief, it has nothing to do with good deeds. And we say the doer of the major sin, the committer of the major sin, deserves entering the fire. So we will not abandon and nullify the value of the ayat of threat. How can we say when Allah says, for example, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى, and abandon what has been, and abandon what is left of riba. Then Allah mentioned that whoever doesn't do that, he will enter Jahannam. How will you apply this ayah? So we will wind up denying the ayat if we don't accept the wa'id, the threat of Allah. But we say he is not abiding eternally in Jahannam. لِأَلَّا نَهْدِرْ نُصُوصَ الْوَعْدِ. But we say he will not be in Jahannam eternally, because if we say that, then we will be denying the ayat of hope. Subhanallah. See how? So we accept the threat, we accept the hope, and we say, you know, you're doing the major sins, will take you to Jahannam, but because of the ayat which give you hope in your iman, then you will not be there eternally. And this is how Ahl Sunnah are between. فَأَخَذُوا بِالدَّلِيلَيْنِ وَنَظَرُوا بِالْعَيْنَيْنِ. So they took both evidences and they used both eyes. Beautiful ending for the dars. Inshallah ta'ala, next week will be our last before Ramadan. However, we will discuss in it Asma'ul Iman wa Deen, the names of Iman, the names of faith and religion in among those who have deviated from the path and those of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.